This is an oral history interview with Chester Studdard, conducted by John Pledger on April 9th, 1993 at 3 p.m. in Gadsden, Alabama. The subject of this interview is his life, especially in country music. All right, what year was it when your father died?
Well, I was born in 1911, and he died when I was 11 years old.
And he was, y'all had a farm up in Collinsville?
Had a farm. We lived about 8 miles from Collinsville out on in the rural district.
All right. What all crops did you raise out?
Well, back then it was more cotton mm-hmm. and corn, maybe some beans for hay, you know.
Yeah. Okay. And you had got one brother?
Got one brother, Homer, yeah. who's 4 years older than I. Mm-hmm. He worked on the Southern Railroad for 41 years. Yeah. Still lives up at Collinsville.
Yeah. And you got two sisters?
Had two sisters. Yeah. My oldest sister is passed away, but Jewel, yeah. my younger sister, is living here in Gadsden.
And you graduated from Sand Rock High School?
From Sand Rock. First year they ever had a graduating class.
What year is that?
That was in 33.
All right. And after you got out of high school, what did you do then?
Well, in about a year, I came on to Gadsden. A fellow by the name of Vernon Keyes and I started playing little music around at our houses before that time. And he and I came to Gadsden together.
Yeah. Did you just pick up playing music naturally? Or?
That's right. We just enjoyed it and just kind of started a little bit at a time, you know.
Did you start out playing the guitar? Or
that's anything? Right.
And your daddy also played musical instruments.
He did. He played three or four different yeah. instruments for fun, you yeah. know, just for pleasure. Mm-hmm. They used to go to people's house. Maybe they'd take down the bed and have a dance with just a fiddle and maybe somebody beating straws on that old fiddle. But they had a good time.
Yeah. All right. What was your first job here in Gadsden?
My first job was at the ice plant. Back then, everybody got a nickel's worth of ice or a dime in their old wooden ice box.
Yeah.
And we had to be over there at 3 o'clock and get on the back of that truck. And they paid us a dollar a day.
Was that pretty good money back then?
Back then, it was.
You could live off that?
Well, we met a couple that did live up close to where we did, but had moved to Gadsden before. And that lady boarded Vernon and I for $4 a piece for a week. Washed their clothes and fixed their dinner.
Well, that's all right.
So we had $4 left most of the time. But you'd go to the show for a dime or a nickel, yeah. you know, buy a good sandwich for yeah. a nickel.
How long did you work for the ice company?
Through the summer, the first summer.
Mm-hmm. Then you started working at the radio station?
Well, we started doing some early morning radio programs. And we started playing baseball. There was a lot of male teams that had baseball teams, mm-hmm. and they'd pay you to play with them.
And y'all would travel around different towns around.
That's right. But you had to go in every morning like you was going to work, punch a clock, and they'd pay you just like you was working a job. Worked 1 year for Goodyear, who had a real good team. Goodyear used to bring these college boys and everybody. Work them through the summer and pay them to yeah. play baseball.
Mm-hmm. What was that you said earlier about your best game up in Collinsville? Was that?
Well, down in Collinsville one time, I guess I got lucky. But I struck out 22 people in one game. And the next week, a doctor from up there, he sent a car out to the house and wanted me to come and play a game with Collinsville.
Oh, really?
Yeah, give me $10.
That's a pretty good deal, right?
That's right.
All right, and then when you started working at the radio station, that was pretty early in radio days.
That's right.
And what kind of programming?
Well, see, there wasn't but one radio station here, WKBY. Mm-hmm. And I just started with, I played records, disc jockey type mm-hmm. show, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, I played country music altogether.
Yeah.
But you had a lot of listeners in that time because there wasn't that many radio stations, you know.
After, how long did you work for the radio station then?
Well, I'd done that about 2 years or two and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And we organized this little string band here in Gadsden. And we'd do this early morning radio program.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd go out and play a school at night. Every night during the school year, while we'd play a high school or a junior high, and those people they'd come out because they didn't have television and that thing back then.
That's right.
So we enjoyed that part of it. We had.
Could you make any money?
Well, not real good money, but we get enough to stop and eat some work coming back.
I guess you enjoyed doing that, though.
We
that
enjoyed
made
it.
Up for
and there was a lot of good experience, you know, because you was working a show somewhere every night during the week.
Mm-hmm. What kind of, who were some of the artists that the music that you played at the radio station, who were some of the people?
Well, of course, back then, naturally, Roy Acuff started pretty early having records.
Mm-hmm.
And a fellow that was raised here in Gadsden, Rex Griffin, he was one among the first guys to start recording. And Jimmy Rogers, of course, he was probably the most popular back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But people listened to radio, you know, wasn't no television, and they didn't have that much to do as far as entertainment was concerned. And you play in a program in the morning, go out and play a school maybe 20 or 25 miles from here, and those people would say, well, we heard you on the radio this morning, you know. So it was good.
Yeah.
And I still sell some of those people a car and comes in here and remembers us still from back in those days. You know?
Right. Yeah. All right. Let's see. You organized the band here in Gadsden.
That's right.
What kind of group was that?
Well, we see back then you had a lot of comedian work. Even Roy Acuff and them, they all had a comedian.
Yeah.
They had a little more fun, you might say, in their shows back then than they do now. So we had Toby Reese, which was one of the best that I ever saw anywhere. He and I worked 13 years together, and it wasn't a show that both of us was on it in that 13 years.
He would kind of come out and open up for
that,
you?
That well, he and I'd pitch them jokes back and forth.
Oh, see. Right?
I'd kind of work as a straight man, and he'd do the comedian work.
Yeah.
And then we had a fellow named Kimo Head that played steel guitar, and he worked at Goodyear at that time. And then Johnny Tona was a played the fiddle, and then Sonny Sims, which was a real good singer, and that was about our first band around Gadsden.
Yeah, you kind of announced the show, and
that's right.
You kind of emceed it.
That back then, you'd announce every song, you know.
Yeah.
And by the way, while we're talking of Kimo and Toby and myself, went with Tubbs when we. Tubbs had his first band at the Opry.
Mm-hmm.
Why, myself and two more from my band, and they hired one more guy, and that was Tubbs' first band at Grand Ole Opry.
How did you end up meeting Ernest Tubbs?
Well, see, we'd been working those Sunday shows with those people from Nashville for maybe a year off and on. And that's Mr. Franks. He called me and said Tubbs was going to be at Birmingham at the City Auditorium. and wanted me to go down there and see if he would come up to Gadsden the next Sunday. So I went down and went behind the stage and met Tug and invited him to come up here the next Sunday, and he did. And then we went up to Atlanta to the auditorium the next Sunday. And then the next Saturday night, they invited Tubbs to be on the Grand Ole Opry. And Pee Wee Keen and his band played for him that night. But he was called back so much,
yeah,
till they invited him to put his own band on the opera. And that's when myself and Toby and Kimo and Hard, this other one,
so he hired y'all to be his full-time band. And y'all, were y'all the Texas Troubadour?
That's right. That was the first Texas Troubadour.
And what did you play?
I played the bass fiddle today.
Is that right?
If you ever up Nashville and go in Tubbs' record show, a record shop, there's a big trophy case in there. And he's got the first band in some silver plaque.
Oh, is that right?
And I happen to be the first to know that thing. So we're proud of it. We're proud to have been part of Tubby's show.
Mm-hmm. How long did you play up there at the Grand Ole Opry?
About 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then we went out for that Army show.
Yeah.
And when we finished that, why, they booked us in a chain of theaters up north in South Carolina. And we'd play a theater every night, you know, different towns. So we enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, when World War II came about, when soldiers were overseas and they'd come back home, and you would tour around the Army bases and things, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we worked about all the western states.
Mm-hmm.
That we'd do 3 shows a night, and it was free, of course, to the soldiers.
Yeah.
And we done that, and then after we finished that, we went to Key West, Florida for the Navy and played there for the boys that just returning from the battle.
What do you remember anything about the years preceding World War II, about the feelings in America among people, that was it a sense that there was a war coming, that it was inevitable, that it was going to be a war, or?
I think the people realized that it was something that just had to be, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the general public was very concerned,
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about Pearl Harbor? Remember hearing about that?
See, two or three of the boys from our band here had to go in service.
Mm-hmm. You didn't have to go?
Yeah, I was called up for duty when we was in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that one of my eyes wasn't up to par.
Is that right?
And I'd been driving for Tubbs at night, Yeah. When I got turned down on account of my eyes, well, he didn't let me drive much more.
Were people like you, looking forward to going to serve, or were people more or less trying to avoid it?
Well, I think the most of them looked forward to it when it was, because a lot of people joined,
Yeah.
Lots of people. Yeah.
I don't know if there were any Japanese Americans living around the South. Probably weren't that many, but do you remember the paranoia that was going on in America about rounding up all the Japanese that lived in America and putting them in concentration camps?
They did that, but like you say, there was just not that many, especially around in this part of the country. In California and some of those states, naturally there were more than there were here.
Yeah. Was there a feeling here in that you noticed that there were spies or or you know, foreign people that were trying here to sabotage America or anything like that?
I don't believe so. I don't believe I remember too much worry about that part of it.
Yeah, here in the South, though, there probably weren't that many immigrants, especially.
That's right.
All right.